Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to Street Psychology Podcast today. I have guest Morgan. She's a dream builder coach, a life mastery consultant, and she has a psychology background.
So most people are like, I'll see what life throws at me, and they just roll with the punches. That's because most of us live by default. We don't know that there's anything different we can do. I teach a scientific process of living by design, being able to create the lifestyle, the business, and the future that you wake up every day so full of gratitude and love that you get to live that kind of life.
And what are some of the main concepts you use in that teaching?
And I don't know how much of it you can see behind me, but this results formula is the basis of all of it. Everything's created twice. We know this, we just don't recognize the power of knowing this. The technology that we're on was someone's idea. The clothes that we're wearing, someone designed this. Everything is a thought before it becomes a form, before it becomes your reality. This is the same thing with our life. We get to decide what our life looks like if we know how to do that. Otherwise, we're just living by default and taking one day at a time. Most people, if you ask them, like, what do you want your life to look like in 3 years? You get a, I don't know, or you get a pretty vague answer. Mm-hmm. And the more specific and clear that you can be on what it is that you want, the more powerful you can be on actually bringing that into your life.
It starts with a thought.
Absolutely.
So if you don't know, you're not going to be able to do it.
And we all have a predominant way of thinking that we don't recognize. We're not aware of it. It's not like we decided to think that way. We were taught by the way we were raised, where we were raised, the schools we went to, what we saw and experienced in our lives. It created this predominant way of thinking. And we don't often recognize that we think that way. And so, like, we've seen the rise of mental illnesses, right? CDC said that over the last decade, there's been a 60% increase in depression in adults. 60%. 60%. 60%.
Okay.
And it's because we have control over it. There's something going in our lives with it being our health, maybe the way that we see ourselves. Maybe we are having physical symptoms of poor health. Maybe it's in our relationships and we don't know why we attract these terrible people. There's a predominant way of thinking, right? That's causing these things to occur. Regardless if it's your health, physically, mentally, emotionally, in your relationships, in your businesses, your vocation, your line of work, and in just the amount of freedom that you get to experience with your time and your money. We create all that for ourselves. So we get stuck, and you don't know what you don't know. So we get stuck in this misery cycle of, I wake up every day and I do the same thing and nothing's getting better. And I don't know how to make things get better. I just know that I'm unhappy. And you go and you talk to a psychologist and they're like, you're right. You are unhappy. here's some medicine. And it's just vicious cycle people are caught in.
Yeah. And like you're saying, most of it stems from childhood and being taught things.
Sometimes money doesn't grow on
trees.
How'd you know that?
I've heard it my whole life. It's just there in my brain.
You have to work hard for your money.
Money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you get your piece of
cake.
The same house.
Maybe.
But these are phrases that we've all heard around money, right? And I like those because almost unanimously, people have heard these phrases used. We don't know that we have these thoughts around money. We don't know that we have this subconscious thought of money doesn't come easy. I have to work hard for it. I can't just receive it. We don't realize we have this competitive thought of I have to get my piece of the pie. Otherwise, we're going to run out of pie. There's not enough pie for everybody. That's not true. We live in an abundant universe.
Can you speak more about that?
Absolutely. I don't recall where this came from. It's not my quote. I'd have to look at it and tell you where it came from. But I want to give credit where credit is due. You can scoop abundance from abundance and abundance remains. We live in an abundant universe. There is an infinite amount of supply. So if you go to the ocean and you're going to take some ocean water, you have options of container sizes, right? Like you could go with a thimble or a bowl or a bucket, and the ocean will gladly give you all of that water. The ocean will also gladly allow you to wade into the water and it will lift you up on its waves. We have an abundance of ocean. We have an abundance of trees. If you go outside, unless you live in a desert where there are no trees, in which case you have an abundance of sand, right? There's abundance all around when you begin to notice and be aware that there is abundance all around you. But that's not what we're taught. We're taught there's not enough food. We're taught there's not enough resources. We're taught there's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough. And that is almost unanimously taught across all of our cultures, religions, ethnicities, everything. That's not true.
Yeah, and that thought and those teachings, it stops us from trying.
It absolutely can, especially in business, right? Something that entrepreneurs experience, especially at the beginning of their business, is the competitiveness. They're like, oh, this is a saturated market. It's so competitive. I used to be in real estate and I heard that all the time. This is so competitive. There's so many people. Everyone's trying to do this. No, there's plenty for everyone. There's always more than enough for everyone. But we get caught up in this competitiveness. If I have to get mine before they get theirs, otherwise I won't have enough. I may not get any. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of the universal laws you want to get into, but there's a universal law of supply, which states that there is an infinite supply in our universe. When you are in tune with the law, when you trust and believe that there is an infinite supply and you know how to work in harmony with for the audience and for my past self, I would be like, what the heck is this crazy lady talking about right now? We all use gravity. We know what gravity is. Do we ever think about gravity? No, we just trust that it's going to be there. We just trust that it's going to work for us. We don't think about it unless you're designing airplanes and you want to work with the law of aerodynamics, gravity to make sure that you're getting people safely. It's not something you consciously think about, but those are invisible laws. We have very similar invisible laws, just like that, in the way that governs everything else in our lives. When you're in harmony with these laws, when you know how to use the laws, you're able to, and it all goes back, law of thinking is one of them. So it all goes back to our thoughts. If we believe that there is an infinite supply and we trust that there is an infinite supply, we don't have this fear of lack, this fear that there isn't enough, fear that if we don't get it first, we won't receive it. And it really changes your entire predominant way of thinking.
Yeah, I could see how that would change because there would be less hesitancy and that doubt that sits in the back of your mind that says, what if I'm not good enough to get a piece of that pie?
Or like repatterning it. Can I use that statement that you just shared as an example?
Absolutely.
What if I'm not good enough? There's so much to unpack. It's such a simple statement. The number of times that we have heard or said that statement, so many. But if we unpack it a little bit, that is a thought that I'm not good enough. You're telling yourself that I'm not good enough. Ultimately, who's deciding if you're good enough? Who decides if you're worthy?
We do.
Whenever you say this simple sentence, I'm not good enough. You're deciding for yourself that you're not good enough. Now you're saying there's lack. And when you're saying I'm not good enough, you're saying there's lack in you, that you don't have everything you're meant to have. You did not get to decide your family, where you were born, what you looked like, what skills and talents you were given. That was decided for you by the power of life. All of those experiences create who you're meant to be and how you're meant to share your gifts, your talents with the world. It's a very different way of thinking.
So when you take that power back, that's when the change starts to happen.
Oh, yeah. I call it living by design, right? There's two ways you can live: by default, which is how most people live. I didn't come out of the womb knowing this. I wasn't even looking for this. It says drifter, overthinker, blamer, and burnout. I spent time in all of those camps. I spent time moving from one thing to the next, not really making any changes in my life, not really knowing why changes weren't being made. I spent time overthinking, what if I'm not good enough? What if there isn't enough? What if I'm doing this wrong? I spent time blaming other people, blaming my parents for maybe some idea or feeling I grew up with, blaming bullies, like kids are mean and they say things to you, blaming kids I went to school with for my lack of self-image, blaming my mother-in-law for whenever parenthood was thrust upon us and removed from us prior to me learning any of these things, but it was the curriculum I needed to learn to be who I am today. I had a lot of blame around that. Like, why would you ask me to take care of a child if you didn't like the way I was going to do it? And then you're going to take a child back just because you didn't like the way I was doing it. I believed I was doing what was best, but there's blame in that. And then there's the burnout. You're doing everything you know how to do. And you're running full force in that direction. And you're hoping and praying that it's going to get better. You're like, eventually, this is going to pay off. And you get burnt out because you don't know what it is that you're doing that's not in harmony with the way that the laws work, which is why I'm out here sharing it with as many people as I can.
I've heard of certain universal laws of the universe, but I don't personally know anything about it. Not how it helps you become the person that you need to be and to get out of that stuck mindset. I think this is useful for a lot of people. It gives another way of thinking about it, another way of motivating people. We're 60% increase in depression. People are experiencing this feeling, but not a lot of people understand where it's coming from.
And so we drift from one thing to the next. TV is a huge one, or social media. We get on it to veg out, to escape. Social media makes the cycle even worse because most people are posting the best parts of their lives. There's not really much of an in-between. So you get on social media and it just makes you feel even worse about yourself.
And even though people know that or they've heard it, they still do it. Why?
So I could give you my best guess as why. Because it's a habit. It's habitual. And until the pain of something is deep enough, strong enough, and the desire for something else is deep enough and strong enough to make a change, you don't. And that's why people stay stuck in these cycles of depression and social media, alcoholism. other drugs and vices. You can get addicted to things that are good for you. I was addicted to working out for a time period. I was teaching middle school, which I loved. I didn't agree with what we were teaching. I didn't agree with the way that we were teaching. Get something for nothing. That's not the way the world works. And that's what we were teaching children. And that's not what I taught in my classroom per se, but that's the way the system was set up. I was just tired of fighting against this system. Like, I couldn't win. And working out became an escape for me. I would push my body physically so hard to clear my mind, to get away from what I was feeling. It's not just negative things you can become addicted to or use as a vice. There are positive things you can use as a vice. We don't recognize why we're eating, what we're consuming, how we're consuming it, and how much we're consuming of it. So there's many things that can be a vice, but it becomes habitual. I was wanting to better myself, which is where the working out started. When I would do a vigorous workout, I was so concentrated on trying to survive the workout. You're so focused on getting through the workout that...
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Everything else isn't there. And it became like an addiction. Mm-hmm. I would have a tough class and do a workout during my lunch instead of eat. And then I would go back. If someone came in, I'd have maybe an administrator or a coworker pop their head in and they'd be like, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, I just need to be able to be the teacher I need to be for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. In some ways, I was able to take away some of the frustration and anger by removing all the thoughts from my brain and focusing on the physical, getting out the negative energy.
We were talking about how some things we use as escapes.
Thank you. Yeah.
And that was an escape for you. And like you said, those things, they work in the moment. They feel like they work. And yeah. Something that starts positive could ultimately turn out negative in certain situations if you overdo it. So you didn't really understand why you were doing that.
At the time, no. There was a lot that went into it. I was very much on a health journey. The journey that I intentionally started on was an outward health journey, mostly around my appearance, mostly around my body. But I wasn't changing the way that I felt about my body. I'm happy to go into that because with mental health, we have eating disorders. We have body dysmorphia. Not that I was ever diagnosed with that, nor really cognitively aware at the time that's what was going on. But there was a conversation I was having with somebody that really brought it to my attention. I had lost about 80 pounds. I thought that I was being healthy. I was working out all the time. I was counting all of my calories, but I wasn't eating enough protein. I really wasn't eating enough calories, period. So I was unintentionally starving myself and did not realize that. I was stressed out with my business at the time of real estate and everything that comes along with being an entrepreneur. It's all on you, sink or swim. Your employees rely on you. You rely on you. Your family relies on you. I was having a conversation with my aunt. Oh, I've always appreciated that she gives me a slightly different perspective than my own. I don't remember exactly what it was that she said, but she said something along the lines of, you're tiny now. Like, you're so small, in talking about my physical body. I said, I don't feel that way. When I look in the mirror, I still see that girl that weighed over 200 pounds. I would look at a picture of myself and not recognize myself. Because when I looked in the mirror, that's not who I saw. That is an internal relationship with yourself. I've done a lot of work on repatterning the way that I view myself, the love that I have for myself. And I also started information about nutrition, gaining the amount of calories we were supposed to eat, the amount of protein we're supposed to eat, what actually allows your body to be healthy. I did gain weight back. Even though I was very tiny and according to our health BMI, I was exactly where I was supposed to be. That isn't really the case for me. My hair was falling out. My skin was peeling. It was not good because I was malnourished. And I still, when I would look in the mirror, see fat. That was my word. One of the biggest changes I've made is my relationship with myself, my body, the way that I see myself. Growing up, I was told over and over again by people that I went to school with about how I was fat. And I could look back at those pictures and be like, what were they talking about? But in the moment, I didn't feel that. We're just measured by our bodies. I'm not sure how intense it is for men, but for women, it seems to be very intense in the way that you look physically and the way that you're measured in society. I got to repattern the way that I view myself. I got to find out that I was having these thoughts about myself and change them. One of the ways that I have done that and continue to do that is by looking at myself with love and with kindness and expressing that to myself. At first, I would start with the things that I did like about myself. I have beautiful eyes. I don't know if you can see them, but I got beautiful eyes. So I would look in the mirror and I would start with my eyes. And I would just, Morgan, you have beautiful eyes. And I was like, no, we're not going there. I have beautiful eyes. I am beautiful. And I would repeat that process until I started to feel a little bit of something for myself. It took years to gain enough love for myself that I wanted to go shopping and try clothes on. So it all goes back to our thoughts. And we don't recognize that we have this predominant pattern of thinking. I had been told over and over again, it was a lack of self-worth. It was a terrible body image, right? And I had been told these things over and over again by people that didn't care about me, people that didn't respect me. Once you've been conditioned to believe that, you hear that in everything. I'll give you another example, if that's okay. My husband, loved the man to death. I walked in to our bedroom and I was eating a protein bar. I didn't notice that I felt bad about what I was doing. He was playing his video game, right? It's like Saturday evening. He's playing his video game and he said something. And I said, what'd you say? He repeated what he said, which I actually heard that time. And it was about the game. It was not at me at all. But what I heard is, you're eating again? Because in me was this constriction around food, around when I was eating and how much I was eating and what I was eating. There are these internal feelings. And I questioned him. I've been working on increasing my own awareness. I heard a bad judgment on myself, and that allowed me to reflect, when else could this have happened in my life? When else could someone have said something and I heard something completely different? We don't recognize it. We don't realize it.
Early in life, you heard the same negative things over and over to the point where you believed them, and you also started to think you heard those things even when maybe you didn't.
So how was I really hearing them, right? Is part of the question. I see it a lot with my clients, especially around relationships. We have something inside of us that we don't love yet. We hear our spouse, significant other, friends, family talking bad about whatever that is we're uncomfortable with in ourselves. That's what we're hearing. It's our version of reality playing out. We are our own worst critics and our enemies. But oftentimes, it's not what they mean. If you were to actually pause and ask them, what did you say? Or what do you mean by that? They're not telling you that you suck, that you're fat, that you're lazy, that you're not good enough. You're hearing that. Because you have this belief so deeply rooted that it's how things are coming into you. It's what you're perceiving.
And that could cause problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's say when you say the relationships with family, even if they're saying something directly to you, you hear the words clearly. You would interpret their words to mean something negative.
Absolutely. No one has ever said anything mean to you and you actually heard them correctly. But there is a possibility that you are not taking their intention. They could have directly said to you, you're eating again? You don't know why they're asking you that. Maybe they're asking you that because they also want a snack. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe they're seeking permission to also eat something. So you don't know what's behind that. Whatever it is that you're hearing, you don't know what's behind it. We are not taught to pause and seek clarification.
It's difficult to do that when you are not aware of what you feel.
Absolutely.
And yeah, everything starts with awareness, right? And then you make those assumptions about things and you're still not doing the work and you still don't understand.
Right.
You don't even know what happened sometimes.
Yeah. So same example with my husband, right? Years earlier had that same conversation happened. I would not have been aware enough. If you noticed my tone, I was like, what did you say? I was still not kind when I said it. Luckily, we communicate well and speak each other's languages fluently. So he knew I wasn't attacking him. He knew that I had heard something that made me feel triggered, which is a whole word we use in psychology. Years earlier, before I had increased my awareness, before he had started increasing his awareness, before we had really worked on our communication and our relationships, this is how that would have played out. I would have walked in. I'd have been eating something. I would have heard, you're still eating. I would have gotten pissed. Then we would have gotten in a fight. And neither of us would have known what we were fighting about because I heard something he didn't say. He has no idea what's going on. He just knows that now I'm mad at him. And what was a great Saturday afternoon turned into a trash can fire because the communication and the awareness wouldn't have been there. And it takes a lot to pause and say, what do you mean by that? Can I ask why you're asking me that? What do you want me to know here? What do you want me to do here? That takes a different level of awareness, self-confidence, self-control, and communication.
And it's really important for the other people in your life to understand and to work with you through this. Or is this more about the individual internal journey?
It really is more about the individual and internal journey. Patience from others is greatly appreciated, right? But it really is way more about the internal journey because it is all about what you can control, right? So it's what your responses are versus what your reactions are. My reaction was, what did you say? Luckily, his radar didn't go off. He just simply repeated what he said nonchalantly. Had he reacted, had he been like, don't talk to me like that, it just would have been a whole thing, right? That didn't need to be a thing, especially in relationships. When you are doing this work on yourself, it is very helpful to share with the other person that, look, here's some things that I'm working on. And as I work through this in myself, there might be times that we don't really see eye to eye. We're not coming up with the same ideas. And I would love your support and some additional extra patience. It really is internal work. And I'm very blessed in that my husband is doing a lot of this same work in himself. And in our relationship, we do this work. That is a blessing because you don't necessarily know that's what's going to happen when you get married.
No.
Who we were when we got married is completely different than who we are now. And so part of that, like in a relationship, is knowing one another and knowing how to communicate and share with one another. As you are making these changes in yourself, know that you can give yourself extra grace, even if no one else in your life is giving you extra grace. You can ask for a redo. That conversation went like it would have a couple years ago, where I said, what did you say? And he came back with some snarky remark and we got into a little scuffle, right? With this new skill set that I have, the new awareness that I have, I could have come back and said, can I have a do-over, please? I apologize for going off on you. Can I have a do-over of what we just did with one another? And that's okay to ask for permission to do that. If they tell you no, that's on them. It's not on you. You get to give yourself a do-over anyways. In your mind, how could I have handled this better? You can always ask for a do-over.
I think that's a good coping skill to keep in the toolbox. No, we more so beat ourselves up for what we did. But you have permission, you say, to ask for a do-over.
Yeah, because we don't typically ask for a do-over. Whenever you go to someone and you say, I'm sorry, can I have a do-over? Most of the time, they're going to be taken aback and be like, okay, what do you mean? Because it's different than what they've experienced before.
If they don't want the do-over, that's less to do with you and more to do with them.
Absolutely.
How does this translate into becoming the business owner you want to be?
That's a great question. As a business owner, I have employees. The way that I treat my employees matters. I also have clients, and the way that I treat my clients matter. Can you ever truly be kind and show love to someone else if you don't do that for yourself?
No.
And so as much as I may have felt like I was being kind and then I was showing love, if I wasn't showing that to myself, there's no way I was truly showing it to them either. So in terms of your inner work, that's where the rubber meets the road in terms of a business owner. And then on the side of designing your life, just like you get to design your business, so you can say what you want your business to look like. You can say how many hours you want to work in your business. As a beginning entrepreneur, a lot of what I heard was about the grind mentality. Give your sleep up and work your tail off. You get to have fun. You have done X, Y, and Z. When you have this amount of money in your bank account, then you get to have fun. No. Who says you don't get to have fun today? Who says you shouldn't have fun every single day? Life's too short. This was a stretch for me at the time. Now I'm interested for you to notice how you feel with this next statement. I gave myself 5 minutes of fun a day. And I had a list of things that I did every day. And on my list was 5 minutes of fun. I don't care how busy you are, how much you have going on. You have 5 minutes that you can give yourself fun.
Oh, it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. Because before I had started doing that, fun was almost something that I had avoided. The mentorship that I had perceived was, you get to have fun when. And I hadn't met that when yet. That when was not part of my reality. Therefore, I felt like I didn't get to have fun. If I was awake, I was working, which wasn't healthy for my relationships. It wasn't healthy for my health. Adding that 5 minutes of fun in changed so much. Some people might be like, oh, what are you doing for fun? Sometimes it was just playing with my dogs. Like, we just play for 5 minutes. I'd play fetch with them for 5 minutes. And I would set a timer for 5 minutes. And after my 5 minutes, I'd go back to work. Because that is the grind mode that I was in at the time.
And by being in that grind mode, other things were put on the back burner, like simple pleasures, like playing with your dog for 5 minutes.
Yeah, they deserve that. I deserve that, right?
Yeah.
And so the mentor, I mean, truly, she found me. I was not out there looking. I have been through many changes in my life, right? As most of us have. And at each point, the lovely universe works and provides for us. I was given what I needed at that time. I was doing all of these things I was told to do by my business mentors and coaches. And I felt like I was doing everything I was supposed to do. But I was drained mentally, emotionally, physically every day, probably because I wasn't having any fun. Mm-hmm. And that took a toll on my health and relationships. When you're experiencing constriction in one area of your life, you see it in the other areas if you're not in harmony with it. The principles that I'm sharing with you today found me. It helped me begin to change this in myself and for myself. One of my mentor, Mary Morrissey's suggestions was to write down a list of things you could do for fun and then do one a day. That's really how I got started in my 5 minutes of fun a day. I felt like I couldn't give myself longer than that, but I needed to give myself at least that.
Because like you said, it's that permission part where you didn't feel like you could.
Because I had been told, well, you're not a multimillionaire. You don't get to have fun yet. Right? That's the messaging I was hearing.
Yeah.
I didn't get to sleep for 8 hours. I was averaging like 4.5, 5 hours of sleep a night, which is not good for you.
Right.
That sleep is how you heal. It's how your body recuperates, regenerates. It's how your brain functions better. I share this because oftentimes we have someone on the outside telling us what to do and how to live. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we take away our own internal compass of what feels good to me. It did not feel good to me to sleep for 4.5, 5 hours. It did not feel good to wake up at 5 a.m. It did not feel good to take the fun things that I enjoyed out of my life. I wasn't aware that I was really doing that to myself. As a business owner, just getting started, I was listening to people who had created success for themselves. I was listening to what I believed they were telling me to do. Part of it was also what is shared in the entrepreneurial space, the grind mode, the struggle mode, the chip on your shoulder, those things to motivate you, to push you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're saying those things are not true.
Do you feel good doing it? Do you feel good taking all the fun out of your life? My guess would be that your answer is no. It doesn't feel good to you. The coaching model that I use is called an evocative coaching model. I give you lots of tools. I teach you the system and the process. When it comes time to take an action step, I invite you to take the step. I don't tell you, I invite you. It's different. It's an invitation. You can take it or you cannot take it. Versus being told to do it.
Really?
No one likes to be reprimanded. what I did may not work for you. It may not work for you to stand in the mirror, look yourself in the eyes and say, you're beautiful. I love you. Maybe you don't like your eyes.
Right.
What is one way that you can show yourself love today? What is one thing you could do to have fun today? Maybe you don't want to play with dogs. Maybe you're a cat person, mm-hmm. right? It didn't matter how it felt to you. And that's not fair to us in who we are and being our true authentic selves, doing what's best for us, living by design and building a life that we wake up loving every single day.
Yeah.
Years ago, had you asked me, do you love your life? I might have told you yes, but I would have been lying to you and to myself.
So that's powerful because entrepreneurship, it's not easy, first of all. And those things that you say, you don't get any sleep. You don't get to focus on anything else. Knowing that isn't always the case. There's more than one way to get to where you want to be.
Absolutely.
And it starts with understanding who you are.
And who you're meant to be.
And who you're meant to be.
Because here's the thing. We all have different gifts and talents. Some people would never in a million years want to get on a podcast, share personal stories about themselves, and teach. Hopefully from this, you've been able to tell that I thoroughly enjoy this. This gives me lots of energy. I'm very passionate about it.
Yep.
This is a gift that I've been given, right? There are people that sing beautifully. You do not want me singing for you.
To know your gifts is a big step in this.
Absolutely.
To know what you're capable of helps you filter out all of the outside noise.
Yes.
When you have to go with it and work. The work does start on yourself. And we're getting close to the end. This has been a lot of great information, inspiring too.
Good.
I heard everything. I understood everything. And I do see that you are truly happy and excited to do this and to talk about it. The journey that you've taken to get here hasn't been easy. It didn't happen overnight.
No, nothing does.
If someone tells you, make you an overnight business success, that's probably not going to be the best way of doing it either. Everything does take work. At the end of the day, that internal work we do for ourselves determines our success.
Absolutely.
Any final words to share with the listeners?
Am I allowed to share how to contact me?
Absolutely.
So if you just type my first and last name, MorganGutierrez.com, that's the best way to find me because it links to all the social media. You can find my workshops if you want to come and get a real dose of the teaching and how to apply this to your life. What I would love to share with you today is ask yourself, what feels good to me to do today? Who do I want to be today? And live into that.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you again, Morgan.
Thank you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.